And I want to preach on I think it's a statement. I was going to do it in the form of a question, but I'm going to do it in the form of a statement, and I'm going to inform you as to why we are so judgmental. Why we are so judgmental. Because the goal is to create a judgment-free zone so things can grow. I want to ask some questions, and I want you to vote. I was going to have you do an electronic voting, but I'm going to just ask you, and you're going to vote by raising your hand. How many of you ever got ready to open up to somebody and talk, and you talked yourself out of doing it? All right. How many of you have ever opened up to someone and you later regretted it? Been there, done that. How many of you have ever swallowed your pride and then you actually talked to somebody and it blessed your life? Yeah. The last question is this. Have you ever been in a enjoying a place or enjoying a relationship, but you pulled back because you saw some things you didn't like and you didn't say anything, at least to the people who could change it? All of these things, whether you realize it or not, are happening as a result of a judgmental spirit. Either you're bit by it or you're the one doing the biting. And I want to talk about how to get rid of that judgmental spirit so that things can flow in the name of Jesus. Amen? Here, I'm going to give you a reason why I'm going to plead my cause with you first. This is why I think we need judgmental free zones. Here's the thing. You have a picture in your head of what you should look like because you're made in the image of God. All of us see ourselves in a certain place, in a certain way. I see myself in a way bigger light probably than what I should see sometimes, but thank God for reality checks. The next thing is this. That picture that you see in your head is not developed like a photograph. Anybody remember before iPhones that we had pictures that you had filmed that had to be developed? You took them to Walgreens, you took them to Walmart, you took them to the picture development place. And they developed these things in the dark room. And about a week later, you picked up your photographs. Life and you don't work that way. God doesn't. He tells you who you are in the dark, but he develops you in the light. And you develop in the context of people. But here's the challenge about yourself. You can't see yourself. You can look around this room and you can see everybody clearly. You can have an image of yourself. The only image you see is what you saw in the mirror, and you trust that the mirror works. Do you know the mirror in your life is your relationships? They show you who you are. I can think that I'm the greatest cook in the world, but guess who ultimately determines how good of a cook I am? How you feel when you taste my steak. That ain't fair. Somebody has to show you for you to see yourself. You've been watching a movie and you say, I can't believe they acting like that. And somebody nudge you and say, I know somebody else that act like that. Who? No. Because we tend to be an attorney for our mistakes and a judge for others. The next step is you must choose to believe what they see regarding you over what you think you're doing. It's hard. And then you got to adjust based off what they see of you, those who love you, versus what you see of yourself. But here's the challenge. This only works in a non-judgmental zone with people who love you and actually know you. They have the ability to show you. Anybody got some people in your life that they can just call your number? They can push your buttons in a good or a bad way. Don't get rid of that person. Learn how to function with them. Let's talk about being judgmental for a moment. Judgmental is this. It's placing your personal judgment on what you perceive to be good or bad. It's placing your judgment on what you perceive to be good or bad. And here's the challenge. If you are not spirit-led, your perception of what how you're going to deal with based off what's good or bad is based off your opinion. I wouldn't award that if I was you. Well, you're not me. I wouldn't raise my children. My children wouldn't go here. Well, you're not me. And we're very how many know we're a very opinionated society? Man, what if I worked master our opinions? Man, we got a lot of things that we think should be done, but here's the question. How much are you doing based off what you think should be done? We're opinionated. Our experiences shape. A minute ago, y'all sung that song, Rain on Us. Man, it was nostalgic for me because I grew up with choirs. I grew up here in John P. Key, and some of you did not grow up like that at all. How many of you grew up with hymn books? You all sung hymn books in church. Y'all open it up. We're going to sing hymn number 42, and everybody sings in concert, and then you sit down. Everybody has different experiences, and my idea of Y'all, we had church this morning, could be reverting back to my childhood of how I was raised, and that's completely different than yours. But who sets the standard? Not my experience. It's what God wants us to do together. That makes sense in here. And then our teachings and our backgrounds shape the way we judge things. God's original design for your and our connection is not being judgmental. Genesis chapter 2, verse 25 is on the screen there. He says this, God created man in his own image, and he let them have dominion. Then he spoke to the man and his wife. This is the original relationship. He said they were both naked and not ashamed, meaning they bared all, not just physically, but they were able to say, I'm feeling insecure today, or that hurt me, versus you're not going to control me. They were able to say how they felt without any shame. There was no, how you doing today, fine. There was no week-long silence. There was no clanging of the pots. There was no pulling away. There was clear communication because they were naked with no shame. Because God did not want us. There was one tree in the garden that he said, do not eat of. And what was that one tree? The knowledge of good and evil. He didn't want you to put you in a place of judgment to be able to speak on certain things that you don't have the wherewithal to really judge. One of the things that I talked to Barbara about, I said, we have to be very careful about the conversations we have in front of Isaiah. Because I don't want a 12-year-old being in a position where he has to make an adult judgment about a situation. God didn't want us in our immature state to be judging things that we didn't have the ability to handle. So he said, don't eat that yet. You tell your kids all the time, just slow down on dating. You're going to have the rest of your life to date. We love each other. You know, we got this connection. You don't understand. Nobody's ever got me like this. You're 13. Right. Mom, you don't understand. It's different than when you were growing up. I'm a little more mature than where you were. And it opens up a side of them. I'm not saying don't date. I'm just saying you got to watch the progression. Because it begins to open up a side of you that you're not ready for yet. In a non-judgmental place, you can communicate that without the going back and forth. Am I talking all right in here? But let me tell you what Satan does. Satan wants to distort God's plan for being naked and not ashamed, and that he introduced being judgmental. Satan wants us to view each other based off our good and bad characteristics. We are in a setting in here today, and we look different. Some of us African-American, some of us Caucasian, Hispanic background. He wants me and Matthew to look at each other in terms of our skin color, not in terms of our spirit and what God brought us together. It is obvious I'm the color I am. It's the obvious he's the color he is. But Satan wants to distort things, do all kinds of things, and we judge each other off stuff that God said, I don't even want you looking at. I want you to base it on your purpose. That makes sense in here? And as a result, here's what happens. We pull back or go in based on our need to protect ourselves, not our purpose. Are you going to betray me or are you going to hurt me? That's determining the level of my interaction. Am I making any sense in here? How does Satan create these judgmental field zones? We don't realize it. We play into it every day. We try to figure out why things happen based off our point of view. We think our opinion should be the standard, whether it be clothing, spending, or whatever. But look at your neighbor and say, you are not God. And tell them, thank God you're not God. Somebody ought to be glad right there. Because you said all the glory belonged to God, and God know what you did last week. If some of us were God, sit down. You ain't praising me one time until you get it together. I ain't blessing you because I know you've been trifling. Oh, thank God you are not God. Because church folks know we can size each other up. Look at them over there crying and praising God. I'd be crying too if I were doing all the stuff that you are not God. They got the ability to believe God to be something great. They can't even balance their checkbook. They can't even pay their bills on time. I know their stuff. You are not God. Thank God, Doc God. Don't call me up when it's time to bless you. You better be glad that God don't call your neighbor when it's time to bless you. Not this week, God. Let them wait a little bit. One of the most hurtful things, personally, that I've ever heard, and I probably have done it before, was I shared this with you guys after Jonathan and Jessica died. I heard someone called and asked me, and they said, is there sin in your life, the reason why God keeps taking your family members? And I remember it just overheard, like, oh, they can't be doing something right. They all that death is not natural. And I began to think in my head, well, God, am I doing something wrong? And God told me, I'm not passive aggressive. Jason, I only take your friends, I know your family to get you. If I want you, I'm going to knock right on your front door. I'm going to wake you right up from your sleep. We place judgment on, and I probably done the same thing. I probably looked at people and said, they weren't doing that. That wouldn't be happening in their life. When did I become God? There was a lady when I was in a school in Chattanooga, and I used to run the sound, and our sound booth was, here's a stage, and it was right there on the side. You can't remember, is that she, there? But there was a lady, we used to have nurses, and nurses were responsible. They ain't had no degree. They just wore these white hats and white suits. Some of y'all grew up in a church like that. They ain't been to school for nursing. All they had was water, mint, and a towel. If the pastor would have passed out, they'd been like everybody else, helping Jesus. And the nurse that was assisting the pastor, she said, you got to tell the pastor. He won't listen to me. I can't do this. I thought, I know you're not no nurse. He said, that's not the reason why. She said, I got this struggle going on in my life, and I don't deserve to be up here. And I went to the pastor, and I said, she said she don't need to be up here. She said, please remove her. She said, don't put her up here. He said, I'm not removing her. I went back to her, and she said, I'm just not going to come. I said, no, you can't not come. Just keep coming. I had no idea what that woman was dealing with until I saw her about a month later. She stopped coming to church. Kim, she was walking up MLK with no shoes on. She was struggling with a crack addiction. And he said, if I tell her to stop coming, that's her only connection here. The only reason she shows up is because she's helping. She's not going to show up and just sit in the pews. You can judge her and say what you want to all day about what she's going through, but the only connection she has is serving. And I'm praying that that grace of serving helps her get through. The moment she disconnected, it hurt my heart to see her walking up and down the road with no, one day she had one shoe on. I would see her walking up and down the road. Do you know how many times we pass judgment on people who are in process? I'm not saying don't have standards. I'm not saying don't have rules, but you have no idea a person's connection to what's going on. The reason we judge is really here found in Scripture. In Genesis chapter 3, I want you to follow me. It starts in verse 1. Can I read a couple of scriptures? It said, now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God made. According to creation, you do know snakes walked initially. Can you imagine a snake walking up to you? I don't like a crawling one, less than a walking one. He walked up to her, and he talked. Wait. And he said to the woman, indeed has God said, watch this, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden. The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the tree of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it, or you will die. The serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened. And you will be like God. Fooling her. She's already like God because she's made in the image of God. Knowing good and evil. When the woman saw the tree was good for food and that it was delight to the eyes and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband. The Bible says, and their eyes were open, and they were naked and not ashamed. They were naked and they covered them. They realized they were naked and they covered themselves. I want to give you our reaction, just like Adam and Eve's, when our eyes are open to be judgmental. The first one is this, in verse 7. We fear judgment, so we hide from each other. Verse 7 says this, then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and they made themselves loin coverings. Notice this. Because they had a knowledge of good and evil, they saw themselves in a way that they had not seen each other before. They started to cover each other. Our reaction to judgmental zones is to hide from each other. You know those fig leaves that they talked about there? If you read your Bible and you read a parable, there was a tree that Jesus came to. Jesus cursed the tree because it had fig leaves and no fruit. And they asked him, why did you curse this tree? He said this, in other words, whenever a fig tree bears figs, the leaves are supposed to be there also. This thing has the appearance of bearing fruit, but it has no fruit. It's covering itself. It wants to present itself like it's something that it's not. Our fig leaves and that are that we present ourselves to be something that we are not in the moment. What does that sound like? I'm not going to that group, but I know I need to. The gym is open, and I know I need to go on the elliptical machine, but Krispy Kreme sounds so much better. I want to talk to you, but if I share too much information, you're going to look at me different. People are petty, and I'm fragile in my dream state, and if you say something I don't like, you're going to put me in a bad place. I know I'm wrong, so ain't no need to talk in the first place because I know everything you're going to say. People act like they don't care anyway. It looks like this. I really want to lift my hands and just scream and holler and worship, but I don't know what these people are going to think about me. So I cannot wait till I get home, because I'm going to tear my living room and my bedroom up when nobody is watching, because I don't want nobody judging my praise. Here's the reality. While you're judging, while you're worried about somebody judging your praise, you judging theirs. Judgmental zones. And if many of us are honest, can you listen to this? We help people in a way that we don't allow them to help us. You will go all out for people. You want them to open up. You want them to talk. You will send texts. You will send emails. You will pray for them. You'll get them to open up and spare their heart until it comes to your turn. When it comes to your turn, you feel like you got this connection with God that I don't need to talk to people like that. I'm good. I'll help you, but you cannot help me. It's called a judgmental. You all right in here? Zone. Another thing we do is we hide from God because of judgment. Verse 8 says this. After they ate of the fruit, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." And he said to them, "Who told you you were naked? Nothing changed except your perception of yourself. Had you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" Then the man said, "The woman you gave to me." Been blaming since the beginning of time. If I wouldn't have dated her in high school, I'd be all right. All these things we do to blame. She gave me from the tree and I ate. The question is this: where are you? When you fear judgment, you will hide. And here's the thing. We put our thoughts on God like he thinks like us. The reality is the judgmental zone says this: when I mess up, I got to hide from God and fix it before I can come back to him. The love zone says, "God, I messed up and I need you now more than ever." Can I say this? Judgment and correction are not the same thing. You cannot be judgmental, but if you come to me and you've blown all your money, I'm not just going to give you more money without a pep talk with it. Y'all know how that pep talk goes. We fear when we're corrected, "You're judging me." No, I'm not judging you. I just don't want you to be here again. So we hide from God because out of fear of what he's going to say. I want to tell everybody in this room that feel like you got to hide from God and people, it's not near as bad as you think. The people who love you are going to walk you through your seasons. Matter of fact, can I tell you the truth? Lean in. Most of them already know anyway. They're just waiting on you to say, "This is what's going on." How many parents in here know what your kids are going to talk about before they come to you? How many of you got friends you already know what they're dealing with before they tell you? You just waiting on them to admit, "This is what I'm dealing with." Can I give you some characteristics of a judgmental zone? Number one, you project guilt. You know how easy it is for me when I'm dealing something to put that on you? I could be dealing with something in my life. I've seen preachers that we're bad about doing it. We're struggling with something, so we preach our struggle. And we tell off on ourselves. It's very easy to project your guilt on the people. That's that way in parenting. There are certain things in my life that I see that my son deals with. Procrastination, sometimes you can't tell if I'm happy or not. And I want to tell him, "Man, come on. You got to get excited about it. Get some up about you." I could go in hard because I deal with it, or I could do the opposite, not deal with it at all and say, "How can I tell him I'm dealing with the same thing?" Both of them are guilt. I got to do what's best for him regardless of what I'm going through. That makes sense in here? You can't lead. You can't love. You can't do anything out of guilt. Another thing to do is we project insecurities. I can't think of no other way to say this but this. You make folk think they crazy because you're dealing with crazy stuff. Now, you questioning yourself about the book an appointment with a therapist because they need a therapist. Y'all ain't say nothing right there. Like you're like, "I know I'm not off. I know nothing's not wrong with me." People have a way of projecting their insecurities, and if you love them, you'll receive them like you're their own. You all right? And then we finger point. We don't take the responsibility for our actions. Another thing that's in the judgmental zone is twisted words without confrontation. Can I ask you a question? You read your Bible. Anywhere when Satan said, "Did God not say?" Did Satan ever call God into the equation? Did Eve ever call God into the equation? You're dealing with the judgmental zone when you're interpreting what somebody else said without them being in the equation, without giving them the right to explain what it is that they said. And now you walking up to them hostile because you know what they said, and they're looking at you like, "What in the world are you talking about?" That makes sense in here? Judgmental zones never allow for confrontation. It always just twists words. I'm through, but I'm going to tell you how to create a safe, non-judgmental place. so that there's growth and communication and all that can happen. Number one, throw your guilt on Jesus and not people. The Bible says he who knew no sin took on our sin. Throw your guilt on the cross, throw it on Jesus and not on people. Don't do anything out of guilt. I am guilty. Many of us have bought gifts out of guilt. Man, I work hard, I'm gone all the time, so I'm going to just give you this. No, I do it. I throw my guilt on Jesus, and I give my purpose to people. Throw your guilt on Jesus. The next thing is this. Connect with people via your purpose versus your problems. Some of us, the only connection we have with people is y'all dislike the same thing. Y'all dislike the same person. You dislike the same whatever. And that's your connection, and you get together and talk about what you don't like. But let me ask you a question. When that gets old, what is there left to talk about? The connection becomes toxic, and now y'all just exchange a code back and forth because y'all don't like the same thing. The reality is we should come together via purpose. We got some stuff we don't like, but I believe in where we're going versus where we're being. That makes sense in here. Then you got to fall in love. Being in love is more than a feeling. New Edition said, if it isn't love. Why do I feel this way? Why does she stay on my mind? Being in love is more than a feeling. Feelings come and feeling go. Being in love is a decision. I want to challenge you to let love build the house that you live in. When you are in love, love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of faults. I want you to think about something. Is there somebody in your life, I want you to raise your hand if this is you, that you've been praying on how to have a conversation with him? How do I address them? How do I have a conversation? Can I want you to think about the flip side of that? There's somebody praying on how they should talk to you about something, the way you deal with things or the way you process things, and they don't know how to do it because they don't want to fight, nor do they want you to ignore them for the next month. When you do stuff in love, here's the thing about coming to church. I'm not always going to preach on what you, we welcome people from all walks of life, all types of relationships, all types of whatever. You're not going to like everything I preach, but I'm not trying to hurt you. There's certain things that God has already judged that I'm going to communicate to you, that his blessing is on. It doesn't mean I don't love you if I don't like what you do. Half of us don't like the stuff that each other wear, but we don't stop loving each other. When you do things in love, we can disagree without being another world war. That makes sense in here. We don't have to have the same political standpoint. We don't have to have the same economic standpoint. But when you do it in love, we'll sit down and listen to each other. The last thing is this. I replace man-made fig leaves with God-made clothes. Genesis 3:21, if you read your Bible, it says this. Then Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. He took the fig leaves that they covered themselves with. He took them off and he put on them the covering he wanted them to have because of their new place. When God does this, this is what it means. He wants you to discern what is safe. People say this all the time. Take your mask off. I want to tell you, you need to put it on in some situations. Why? Everybody does not deserve to hear everything about you. Some people are going to use what you tell them about you against you. You're going to hear stuff about you down the street. You're going to hear subliminal posts on social media about you. Some people are not ready for all of you. So there are some places when you come in, if you are married or whatever, the whole world don't need to know what's going on. You got a kid that's going through problems right now. Your close circle can know they're giving you problems, but the world don't need to know you got a bad kid because they steal yours. You all right in here? When you are going, there is a moment where you say, yes, I'm going to suck this up because I got to work. There have been moments where I preach and I've been going through horribly on the inside. But y'all don't want to hear, y'all, I'm tired. Satan been beating me up. You didn't come to hear that. You came to hear a word from the Lord. So I got to get myself together in some moments. But, somebody say but. When I'm in a safe place, that mask needs to come off. You need somebody that when they ask you what's going on, you don't say nothing. You don't give them to run around. You don't make them go through 10,000 hoops just to get to the core of who you are. And by the time you get ready to talk, they ain't ready to listen because it's been a month since they asked you. You need to know when it's time to be honest and take your mask off. And the Holy Spirit will tell you when it's time to be vulnerable. Trust me, particularly you have kids. You tell them all the time, don't tell everybody our business. There's a moment where you learn to share. There's a moment you learn to put that mask on. I want to challenge you in here. Create a non-judgmental place. You know how you do it? Number one, you become safe. People don't trust petty people. And if you're petty and you always got some stuff going on, you better believe I'm not ever going to talk to you. I want to challenge you in this place this week to live a non-judgmental week. Here's my challenges to you. It's four of them. Number one, have your opinion, but keep it to yourself unless somebody asks you. Because we get mad when people express their opinion to us, but we're ready to tell everybody exactly how we think. Number two, have a crucial conversation in love. If you're challenged with some things, go in love. Number three, allow somebody to have a crucial conversation with you. And number four, instead of placing your judgment on a situation, ask God, what do you see and what are you doing in this situation versus how I think and how I feel? Can I challenge you with that this week? Stand to your feet all over the building. Do you not know there's somebody in this room right now who is longing for somebody to talk to? I can come up and lay hands on them. We can have a prayer line. But there's somebody, you need a conversation. You need to really talk out. Sometimes you need to hear yourself talk. Because if you're thinking in alone, your thoughts can be all over the place. Father, I'm praying that you create safe people, that somebody finds somebody to share their heart with. Not just dumping all my guilt and all my stuff on somebody, but God, I want to get out of this place. Show me that safe place. And Father, for the areas where I've not got my emotions together and I'm just bleeding all over the place and I'm just leaking my emotions everywhere, Father, show me how to get it together so I can do my job, and show me the safe place that I can just bear all. Father, forgive me for ever creating a judgmental zone that shut people down when it was time to open up. Help me to be spirit-led so that we can walk out and be everything you called us to be. In the name of Jesus Christ, we love you and we thank you now. Amen. Can you do me a favor? Shake somebody's hand or hug them and tell them, we're better together.